The Baseball Bat. Learning to Control Anger and Anxiety with Help from Gramps. Written by James Shaw. Narrated by James Shaw. To my daughter Stephanie, whom I watched hit home runs as a young girl, and watched as she hit it out of the park as a wife and mother. Chapter 1. Baseball Signups. It was Wednesday, March 20th, 1968. I had just gotten off the bus from Twin Beach Elementary School. This was a Walled Lake school located in West Bloomfield Township, Michigan. The school was over a mile from my house, which meant taking the bus was my primary means of transportation. I was in the fourth grade. I still had two more years at this school before heading to junior high school. The bus dropped us off on the south side of the street, Pontiac Trail, as usual. Getting off the bus with me were five other neighbors. All of them were in lower grades than I was. After looking both ways, I dashed across the street without waiting for any of the other neighbors. Since it was Wednesday, I first headed to the mailbox to check whether the Spinal Column, the local newspaper, had arrived. Then I walked to Carol's house, just two doors over from mine. My mother had arranged for Carol to watch me until she got home from work. I didn't really think I needed watching. I was 10 years old, so many times I would just check in with her and go on to my own yard. I had the world figured out as much as any adult did, or so I thought at the time. I knocked on Carol's door to let her know I had made it home safely from school. Since she had to watch her own two preschool boys, she didn't mind wanting to play outside. After cutting through the yard that separated Carol's house from ours, I took out the mail and sat on the front porch. I leafed through the paper and found it. There it was, the article for the annual Lakes Athletic Association baseball signups. I could hardly sit still and wait for my mother to get home so I could convince her to sign me up for baseball. Impatiently waiting for her, I daydreamed about how I would hit home runs and make plays in the field. For Christmas, I had asked for a first baseman's mitt, a baseball bat, and a pitchback net. I got all of them. I was determined to play first base this season. I didn't realize it at the time, but I had already developed a very overconfident personality. In other words, I had quite big dreams and didn't think for a minute that I might not achieve them all. I had to be overconfident because after my disastrous first season, it was quite clear my thoughts certainly weren't realistic. My first season of playing baseball had been a year ago, when I was 9 years old, playing in the Mustang League. Many of the other boys had already been playing for a few seasons, and the team consisted of 9- and 10-year-olds. Before starting the season last year, I hardly ever swung a bat, had thrown a baseball, or caught a ball. I had gone to the first practice with a plastic glove, and the coach had written me off as the last hitter in the lineup. Each game I played, my required 2 innings in right field. I did not have much success throughout the season. I struck out almost every time I was up to bat, and only felt some success when the umpire called a ball instead of a strike, but great success every time I made it through batting without being hit by the pitch. During one of the games, I heard some parents laughing at me. One father even went as far as to tell me I wouldn't know where to run if I did hit the ball. This angered me a lot, and I growled that, of course, I knew which way to run. I sat on the bench and thought about what he had said, and then I started to watch the game. My first thought was to watch very carefully for anyone who did hit the ball to see where they ran. After watching a few players run to first, I breathed a sigh of relief that I did know where to run. I committed that to memory when I did hit the ball. I would run and run hard to first base. My thoughts then turned to how I would be teaching this guy a lesson someday when he saw me playing for the Detroit Tigers. You might think that after my first season of baseball, I would certainly not want to sign up for baseball again. But the total opposite was true. I wanted to play very badly and prove to everyone that I could be the best player. The pitchback net was a pitch and catch device with a steel frame and a net, so when I threw the ball at it, the ball came back to me. Using this device, I learned to throw and catch. It didn't matter if there were 6 inches of snow on the ground, I was still out there throwing the baseball against the net and catching it when it came back to me. I didn't learn to play catch with friends as typical boys did. But as I threw and caught balls against the pitchback net for a few hours, I envisioned myself being successful and making plays in the game. I also learned to hit the ball by throwing rocks up in the air and hitting them into the woods. My mother had rocks spread over the driveway to prevent it from getting muddy when it rained. She knew I was hitting the rocks into the woods, but she never said anything or tried to get me to stop. I let my imagination run wild, picturing myself hitting a home run as the rock sailed high into the woods, or seeing myself racing for a double when I hit one lower. Needless to say, the bat took a beating and was so badly chipped that it could not possibly be used in a game. When I saw my mother pull in the driveway, I was still sitting on the porch. Before she could even open the car door, I shouted, "Mom, I got the paper and I can sign up for baseball." Somehow I was so excited that I didn't even think to greet her with a hello. My mother could sense my excitement, so as soon as we got inside, she looked at the paper. "Mom, I want to sign up. I'll be one of the older kids on the team this year, and I'm going to be one of the stars." My mother replied, "Yes, Tom, you can sign up for baseball." She would only agree with me, but there had to be some doubt inside after watching me play last year. Then my mother greeted me and asked about my day. My day? I couldn't even think of anything but baseball. "Tom, I'll take you to every practice and every game. Do you have any homework?" I had a social studies assignment, so I told her that I had some homework. She didn't criticize me for not doing the reading before she got home, like many parents might have done. She let me succeed or fail on my own. I didn't do my reading that night because I was too excited about baseball. My mother asked what I wanted for dinner, and I replied, "We better call the league first. The teams might be filling up." I might have been hungry, but signing up for baseball was more important. "Oh, Tom, I'm sure they have room for you. I'll call, but then we need to have dinner." My mother dialed the number from the paper, and someone answered, "I would like to sign my son up for baseball. His name is Tom Moschina, pronounced Mo-she-na, and he is 10 years old as of February of this year." She gave the person on the phone our address and our phone number, and then she turned to me and said, "They want to know what position you play." "First base! I play first base." "First base," she said as she listened for a while. She took a few notes and then hung up. I was lucky. They could have asked what position I played last year. Instead, they wanted to know what position I play, and I now play first base. I had a first baseman's glove to prove it. "Mom, what did they say?" "Tom, they're going to call us and tell us when the first practice is going to be after they get the teams assigned." "Thank you for telling them I play first base and not right field. I was worried you might say that." My mother just smiled and then asked if I wanted hamburgers for dinner. After eating, I watched Bewitched and Batman on our small black and white television. Batman was my favorite show, and it was both on Wednesday and Thursday evenings. On Wednesday, it was the first part of the weekly episode where Batman and Robin would find themselves in some kind of danger. Then on Thursday, they would find a way to escape and catch the villains. The next day, I got on the bus for school, still daydreaming about how I was going to do on the baseball team this year. A couple of the boys were horsing around, and one of them bumped into me, apparently after being playfully shoved by the other. My thoughts immediately turned to, how dare he bump into me? He should have known better than that. What is wrong with this boy? I need to teach him a lesson. I shoved him away from me without saying a thing. The boy hit the seat and fell on the floor crying. I could feel my heart racing as I just sat there, staring straight ahead. The bus driver stopped and the bus to attend to the boy and ask what had happened. The boy pointed to me and said that I had shoved him. As the bus driver looked at me, I said, I didn't do anything. These boys were horsing around and one of them got hurt. Apparently, the bus driver didn't believe my story and gave me a warning that if I was involved in any more trouble on the bus, I would have to go to the principal's office. Since the principal knew me well from getting into a lot of trouble last year, this would not be good for me. So I just sat there, my heart beating rapidly and holding my tongue, staring downward. For the first 2 or 3 hours at school that day, I was still feeling angry and didn't talk to many people. I tried to smile a lot, but when something like the bus incident happened, I didn't smile for most of the day. By lunchtime, I was feeling better and talked to my friend Mike during recess when we were on the playground. I asked him if he signed up for baseball, and he told me that he didn't know it was time to sign up. As it turned out, Mike didn't want to sign up for baseball. He walked around the playground, and we looked at girls. There was one girl who had caught my eye. Her name was Valerie, and she had short and thin brown hair. She was short and thin and had brown hair. None of the boys in the class had girlfriends, but if someone admitted to liking someone, people would say she was your girlfriend. Even though, in most cases, you hadn't actually talked to her. I kept my crush on Valerie quiet. Mike wasn't one of the bigger boys, nor was he extremely athletic, but he was my friend, and we got along well. Today, some of the more athletic boys were involved in a kickball game. The top athletes in fourth grade were Stan, Will, Marty, and Joe. They seemed to do well in all sports. They often bragged about how they'd excelled in baseball last season. They were on the same team, they all lived close to the school, and were known as the Walkers, while I had to ride the bus since I lived a mile away. There was status in being a walker. Marty was the self-proclaimed strongest kid in the class. He and I scuffled a year ago when he told me that he was the best fighter in the school, and I told him I was. Somehow, I just couldn't let anybody be better than me at anything. Actually, I was a pretty scary fighter because I got so angry that I would stop at nothing to prove my worth. On Thursday, April 4th, when I got home from school, I checked in with Carol as usual since my mother was working. Carol was watching her small black and white television similar to the one we had. She told me that Martin Luther King Jr. had been shot. The only time I had seen a black person, other than on TV, was at the Pontiac Arby's. There was only white people at my school. I know this would sound racist today, but it was the reality we lived in back then. Then, the only thing I knew about Dr. King was that he had given the "I Have a Dream" speech, where he said that he wanted equality for all, which I agreed was a very good idea. I watched how sad people were at the news of the assassination. That evening, I watched a speech by Bobby Kennedy, who was next in line to be president of our country, to officially announce the death. I wondered if I was safe in this world or if someone would try and shoot me someday. I know I should have been mourning the death, but I was worried about myself. In the weeks following the assassination, there were race riots in Detroit. which I thought were too close for comfort. A few weeks after I had signed up for baseball, I was home eating dinner with my mother when the telephone rang and my mother answered. "Tom, it's for you." I grabbed the phone from my mother and said, "Hello?" The voice on the other end said, "Tom, this is Coach Franciszek. You're going to be on the Cardinals this year. Do you have a pencil and paper?" I recognized the last name as the same name as Stan's, so his father would be my coach, and I would get to play with the boys from my school. Last season, there were no boys from my elementary school on my team. Give me just a minute," I said, scrounging for something to write with. "I'm ready." "Good," said the coach. "Our first practice will be at Twin Beach Elementary at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Will you be able to make it?" "Yes," I said, as I was dreaming about the success I would have during the season.